Netflix is full of documentaries about pop stars. You can get a peek at the offstage lives of Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, or the K-pop girl group Blackpink. But how authentic are the people we see in that documentary footage? Is it who they really are when the cameras are finally off? The new film, The Nowhere End, takes us behind the scenes of the filming of one of those documentaries. Now, it's a work of fiction, but the co-writers and co-stars of the film, Carrie Brownstein and musician St. Vincent, whose real name is Annie Clark, play themselves on screen. Here's the opening scene from the film.
So you're a singer?
Yep.
Because I don't know who you are.
That's okay. You know, I'm not for everybody.
No, I mean, I drive a lot of famous people. And I never heard of you before, so. Hey, I called my boy. He's in a band. He says he's never heard of you either. Can you talk to him?
He's on the phone right now?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, this is so embarrassing. I'm sorry about my dad. He says you're famous? I've never heard of you. What's your name?
Well, my name is Annie Clark, but I perform as St. Vincent. Maybe that's where the confusion lies.
Maybe sing one of your songs? I don't know.
Oh, now there's a good idea. How about if you do one for us there, Miss Vincent or Mrs. Vincent?
New York is a New York without you, love. So far.
As the movie progresses, the lines between reality and fiction become blurred, and the filming of the documentary veers wildly off course. Joining us to talk about The Nowhere End is co-writer and co-star Carrie Brownstein. She's also part of the rock group Sleater-Kinney and the co-creator of the TV series Portlandia. Carrie, welcome to 1A.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We also want to hear from you. What questions do you have for Carrie? You can tweet us at 1A or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. I have to say, I was watching the film and just that opening scene in the limo, I was like, oh, I'm in. I am fully, completely in. But this movie's a little hard to describe because it takes a lot of twists and turns. But how would you describe it?
I was hoping you would describe it. it's true. It's hard to categorize what this film is. It's definitely a pseudo mockumentary, and mockumentary because, of course, Spinal Tap is kind of the provenance of that whole thing. It's not Spinal Tap. It also is. It's kind of a drama that it veers into horror. It's definitely a bizarro film. Annie just describes it as bananas. So I'll just stick with that. It's a bananas film that is worth checking out.
I think bananas is an accurate description. I was watching the film and there was one scene that really stands out for me. You are filming Annie's bandmates, St. Vincent's bandmates, and you are asking them to tell you something interesting about her. And all of them say her music. And then you're like, okay, but something else. And they're like, huh, well, her music is really great. And it felt like an inside joke between you and Annie, maybe something you all have joked about the nature of fame. Did I read that accurately?
You definitely did. I mean, I think both Annie and I are people who like to revel in the mystery of things. And I think art, whether it's music or, you know, fiction or painting, it does kind of occupy that third space where you get to, it's subjective and it's experiential and it finds you where you are. And sometimes that can be, you know, retrograde. It can happen, you know, not at the time it's supposed to. And I think that, you know, we often struggle as a fan too. I struggle with, you know, this kind of voracious appetite for the behind the scenes or for the minutia of someone's life. But in reality, I want there to be something ineffable about the artists who I love. And more in more specifically, what they make. You know, I don't necessarily care what they ate for breakfast or, you know, whether they're relatable or likable, because I want to just kind of immerse myself in this world that they created. So yeah, I think worse than being finding out someone's a terrible person is maybe finding out they're a really boring person, you know, because people that are ordinary make extraordinary things, you know, and I think that's true of a lot of people. So yeah, it's part of an ongoing discussion that Annie and I definitely have.
I think the film is also an exploration of friendship, perhaps, and what friends can and should expect from one another. How did you all explore that in the writing of the film?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually not something I've been asked about before. And it really is, I think, about friendship and about honesty and transparency. And I think also about two female, you know, creative types, two female artists, which, you know, we're trying to, I talk a lot about my friends who are writers who are, or friends of writers who are always like, oh, I just feel like everything is copy. Everything I tell someone else, you know, ends up in their blog or their novel or some article. And there is this dynamic, I think, that, you know, we have with our friends who are putting work out in the world. I'm sure you've had a conversation with a friend and then you mentioned something on the air and they're like, oh, thanks for that heads up. But it, you know, it is just about like that conflation of the public and the private and, you know, how, what you protect, you know, what you choose to protect, within a friendship, what you choose to value and whether what you value needs to be, you know, sort of held close and not shared. The opposite of that, of course, is that people are offended when you don't share. You know, we're in a weird space right now. You know, it's like if you leave someone out, is that more of a transgression than including someone in the work? And why do you choose to leave something out? Is it because you're actually just hold it so dear that you're like, this is just for us? And I think a lot of the movie is just about Annie and I exploring like where, like the performance of friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, so much of what we do right now is like performing our relationships for our online audiences, whether you're famous or not famous, you know? And so it's like, what's the private?
I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. We're talking to Carrie Brownstein about the new film she co-wrote and co-stars in alongside St. Vincent. It's called The Nowhere Inn. That performance aspect is interesting to hear you talk about that because I think, especially during the pandemic when perhaps we weren't able to be together in the ways we were accustomed to, even, you know, doing a Zoom, you know, cocktail hour with friends, it became performative and there's a certain kind of exhaustion that goes along with that. How have you navigated that space over the past year and a half?
Probably the same as yourself or your listeners. You know, there is, I think, like bridging that gap between, you know, the virtual and the reality is an exhausting effort, you know, and this kind of disembodied space, like what we're experiencing right now is both embodied and disembodied, you know, like I'm watching myself on the screen, I'm seeing you, like I'm aware of myself in this room, but aware of myself in your room somehow. Mm-hmm. And that kind of cognitive dissonance, I think there's a fatiguing aspect to that. And you really start to yearn for the real, the tactile, the in-person. And, you know, so yeah, I think I have learned how to, you know, appreciate the moments where I'm actually interacting in the same room as others, but also I guess figured out how to, have this virtual self that is honest and authentic as it can be.
Now, the film intentionally blurs the line between reality and fiction. At a certain point, I'm like, wait, am I watching a film inside a film inside a film? But I mean, just from a production standpoint and an editing standpoint, how did you all maintain those lines so that you came out with something coherent at the other side?
Yeah, definitely. You know, credit to our director, Bill Benz, our editor, Ali Greer, and, you know, the whole crew who, for instance, the the live performances that you see of St. Vincent and her band were filmed before our actual production started. So then we have, you know, it's on the costume designer, Natalie, and our production designer, Grace Ailey, to, you know, make cohesive a shot that, you know, starts out on stage filmed months before, and then Annie walks off stage and then we're in the production. And, she, you know, so there was a lot of, you know, we basically designed, as we thought about it, like there's three films. There's this sort of, you know, omniscient camera, and that's, you know, the story that kind of takes place that you, that the audience is watching. Then there's the pseudo documentary that my character is making, and then there's the concert footage. So it was, I think there was some logistical, you know, things to sort out in addition to just the narrative and the sort of the artistic choices that we are making. It was very tricky to keep track of that, for sure.
I can imagine. In working on the film, did you come to any, I guess, deeper understanding about the nature of celebrity and authenticity?
You know, I definitely think it's a movie that asks more questions than provides answers. And I think, to me, that's the role of a writer or artist, is to, you know, kind of thrash around and ask questions and wrestle with the kind of inchoate murkiness, I guess, of life. So no, I don't know if I came to any specific conclusions, except that, like I said earlier, I think the more you peel back things, like, you know, the less clarity you often find. And I think the seeking is the joy, you know, I mean, that exploration of fandom, you know, of self, that's the journey, you know, what finding some ultimate answer may be very unsatisfying. So I guess I did realize that, you know, and when I think about myself as a fan, I'm like, you know what, stop peeling back the layers, or enjoy peeling back the layers, because you're not going to find anything great there.
We're talking to actor, musician, writer, and comedian Carrie Brownstein about the new movie she co-wrote and co-stars in alongside St. Vincent. It's called The Nowhere Inn. Also, a soundtrack was released along with the film, and this is the title track, The Nowhere Inn. I'm Jen White. More from you and our guest in a moment. Now let's get back to our conversation with Carrie Brownstein about the new film she co-wrote and co-stars in, The Nowhere Inn. She's also part of the rock group Sleater-Kinney and the co-creator of the TV series Portlandia. We got this email from Andy, who says, I worked with Carrie for a minute in Portland, and she is one of the most talented persons I have ever met. Hardworking, funny, sweet, just a great person. I am curious how she got into comedy.
Honestly, it was really via Fred Armisen. As a kid, before I played the guitar, you know, discovered Indian punk music, which took me down a road that I'm still on. I was kind of a drama theater nerd in school, and definitely thought that I wanted to do some of that, and was a fan of comedy, but, you know, didn't, aside from some improv that I don't think any of my drama teachers appreciated, I think I was mostly doing, you know, serious acting, which you do for sure in eighth grade. When I met Fred Armisen, who at the time was still on SNL, he wanted to collaborate. And yeah, we started just making these little sketches, video sketches, and sending them out to our friends and putting them up online. And then we, you know, formally turned that into Portlandia. So kind of snuck in through the side door there on comedy, for sure.
What is the collaboration process like for you?
It's definitely a lesson in vulnerability. I think it's kind of similar, like being in a writer's room and pitching an idea has that same kind of laid bare quality as, you know, playing a rudimentary, like, sketch of a song to someone in the same room and having to watch their face and think like, okay, no matter what you say, I can tell your face will not lie here. So I think it is, it's just working with people whom you trust and being, you know, not being too precious about your ideas and knowing and hoping, I guess, that the sum will be greater than the parts. You know, it's like just thinking like, okay, I have an idea, but this other person or these other people can better this idea, and being open to that. To me, that's the best form of collaboration is just, that multiple brains and ideas can make something, you know, more interesting and vast.
When you talk about trust and collaboration, is that a type of trust that's built through the professional relationship or the personal relationship?
Oh yeah, good question. I think both. I mean, I definitely have more, you know, like, I guess professional, I have some just professional relationships, but ultimately those do turn into personal relationships, I think, over time, or because it does rely on, you know, anecdotal like stories, and you end up sharing so much of yourself. I think there is an emotional intimacy that's formed, even if you're not like socializing outside of, you know, the workspaces. That line is, I think, blurred in some ways. But I think it can definitely happen in professional settings where, you know, if the space is a nurturing one, you know, and you do kind of need, it does have to be boundaried in some ways. I know I just used the word like blurred lines, but I think actually knowing that there is kind of like a boundary of like safety and trust, I think allows you to be a little more free in a room. But yeah, sometimes it is with your friends, and sometimes that's harder, you know, people that you already have, like with Annie, for instance, who I made this movie with. I mean, we've been friends for 15 years. So, you know, having that veer into a professional collaboration can be tricky. I think we did it successfully, but sometimes coming from the other side is easier, where it starts out strictly work related and turns into a friendship. Yeah. That's the easier transition, I think.
Well, let's listen to another moment from the film, The Nowhere Inn.
I'm in the failure era of my life, where people don't like the shit I'm doing. I'm not joking. People don't like what I'm doing. It's like I'm grappling. But what's weird is like, I claim, and I can't even tell if it's real anymore. Like, I do think that like the artist's role, the writer's role, is to like thrash around, to like make mistakes, to be out of step. But then when I am out of step, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm out of step with what people like, then I feel down on myself. But philosophically, I think, no, that's how it should be. I don't know. I kind of think I just want to make things with friends.
That echoes what you just said in so many ways, but that failure piece of it and what it feels like when you are making things and aren't well received, that you feel, you know, like are out of step. And again, this is a fictionalized film, but it felt very true, that there was a real truth in there. Expand on that for us.
Yeah, well, first, sorry to be redundant. I think I said thrashing around as an artist like 10 minutes ago in this interview. Jeez. Yeah, it is confusing. I think that feeling of out of step, I mean, I think that is a very honest little like piece of dialogue in that film. I think it is tricky because, you know, it's like, I think a lot about conformity and you know, and whether being liked and being, you know, part of the mainstream is actually like not just a viable, but is that a worthwhile goal, you know? And I feel like it's so much harder, I think, personally to feel out of step than it is sort of like culturally, you know? Like, I think there's something, you know, being able to kind of, you know, take on the persona of being like the outsider or, you know, sort of like the iconoclast. Yeah, that's like, you know, that's certainly an archetype, but I think it does wear on you personally, I think, especially now when there is such a premium on, I guess, like the moment and sort of like zeitgeist, and because everything sort of like there's these like sort of blossoms and like blooms of just like, oh my gosh, if I can just like kind of latch on to this thing that's kind of exploding right now, then you know, of course you feel amazing. But to kind of have your ego rising and falling by that, I think can be a little pernicious. So I don't know. I really don't know where I stand. And I think I agree with what my character, which is a pseudo version of myself, is saying. We're like, philosophically, sure. Like, yeah, you want to be that irascible outsider, but you know, like most of us are just trying to connect. And I think to connect, you need people to understand what you're doing. And if you feel misunderstood personally or artistically, I mean, I think that can just be an abject loneliness. And I, you know, so most of what I see from people is just like a yearning to be seen. And I probably land there. But I'm not saying that that's where great art comes from. It's just everyone wanting to be understood.
Well, we got this email from Carlos who says, without even having seen the movie yet, I love that it examines the ludicrous nature of fame and celebrity and the disconnect between the perceived image of an artist and the real person behind it when they're not performing. Being a performer and so-called local celebrity myself for the past 40 years, I get that so vividly and have learned not to take my artistic persona too seriously. I appreciate this piece of work acknowledging that weird in-between dimension. Part of what the film explores, particularly through Carrie's character, the St. Vincent character, who's the real person, it gets very, very fuzzy, but is this desire for her to control her own narrative. And coming away from the film, I found myself questioning, well, I wonder how much of this is really, really them. Like, how much of you really came through? And was there any thought about, oh, this is a way for us to tell our own stories, albeit in a fictionalized way? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think the difficulty in trying to explain that's the problem with this whole thing. It's like, we're like, who is who in this movie? Yeah, I think it goes back to what you were saying about friendship, and that ultimately it's, you know, what we are kind of exposing is this curiosity and porousness and back and forth that we have as friends, and, you know, that we're on this journey together trying to explore and explain and, you know, and also just question, like, what is interesting about us, you know? And if I strip away all these like external definitions, like, am I still valuable, you know? And I think so much of what we do these days is, you know, put ourselves out there to be judged and liked and commented upon, whether we're celebrities or not, you know, and that kind of reliance on, you know, the public, I guess, for our, you know, sense of worth is definitely treacherous, you know? And when you're just there alone with yourself or with your closest friends, I think, you know, ultimately that's what matters. And I think that's what we're kind of, exposing about ourselves in this, is that, like, you know, ultimately I just, you know, care what my friends think, or, you know, that I hope, or, you know, to a certain extent, and that, like, I hope that I'm compassionate and kind enough to, you know, keep them in my lives, in my life. So yeah, I think that's what we're ultimately exposing, but certainly the versions of ourselves in this movie, I would not stand by.
We're talking to Carrie Brownstein about the new film she co-wrote and co-stars in alongside St. Vincent. It's called The Nowhere Inn. I'm Jen White. You're listening to 1A. Now, you're also part of the group Slater-Kinney, which released its 10th studio album this summer, called Path of Wellness. Now, Slater Kinney formed in the 90s. How do you see this latest album fitting into your evolution as a band?
I think with every album, we've just tried to do something a little different and, you know, push ourselves as writers and musicians. So, yeah, I think it's part of that, I guess, ongoing trajectory. But definitely an album made during COVID, there's kind of a return to sounds that we kind of relied upon as even when we were kids, you know, whether it's Springsteen or Patti Smith or Tom Petty, just those kind of sounds that, you know, make you feel like you know where you are, that posit yourself in place and time. And I think that was really, we were all sort of uprooted collectively in the last, you know, year and a half. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely about, you know, putting your hand against the wall and be like, here I am. So there was a lot of that.
Was there a certain discomfort in reaching back for those sounds?
I think so. Or just like some, you know, returning to the solidity of the past, which of course is its own fallacy because, you know, we all know that the past holds like the same turmoil and inconsistencies and injustices as the present. But, you know, if it still, the way that we listen to it, I think has a certain kind of nostalgia to it. It's not a nostalgic record, but I think some of the sounds, like the sonic quality to it, reminds me of, you know, just listening to records that made me feel like safe.
What was it like recording an album during the pandemic?
I guess as you know from going into work or anyone who's listening, like it's just a lot of logistics, yeah. Testing and safety protocols. And I like to describe it as, you know, a muted experience, like so many things now, like there's just this like dullness that, you know, it's like you're searching for like the glimmer, you're searching for like the clarity in it, but you have to like dig through this kind of muted quality to find that like joy and pleasure and spark. And it was there when we were actually playing, but everything around it was just like, oh boy, there's that COVID thing that we all live with now.
Yeah, I haven't heard it described as muted before, but that's apt. that resonates deeply. Now, before we let you go, I know your next project is a biopic. You wrote about the 70s and 80s rock band Heart. You're directing it too. What excited you about this story?
Heart is a band who grew up in the suburb adjacent to where I grew up in Washington State. And I don't know. I mean, I think biopics are tricky. We all know. I mean, they're very ubiquitous right now. Some of them are great. You know, I loved Bird. That was a great biopic. Walk the Line. You know, they can be done really well. And then they also can just be head scratching. So I don't know. I just felt like as someone who straddles the line between music and film and television, my hope is that this is a film for music fans as it is as much as for film fans. So I'm going to do my best.
But we'll be watching. That's Carrie Brownstein, the co-writer and co-star of the new film, The Nowhere Inn. She's also part of the rock group Slater Kinney and the co-creator of the TV series Portlandia. The Nowhere Inn is streaming and in theaters now. Carrie, it's been great talking to you. Thanks.
Thanks. You too, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Remember, you can follow the show on Instagram at The 1A Show. Today's producer was Avery J.C. Kleinman. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.